Hey there, and welcome back to the Clarity Podcast. This podcast is all about providing clarity, insight, and encouragement for life and mission. And my name is Aaron Santemeyer, and I'm going to be your host. Today, we have the phenomenal opportunity to have with us on the podcast, Pastor Chrissy Toledo. Many of you know that I've interviewed her husband, Al Toledo, twice on the podcast, as we've talked about DNA of a leader and being a spiritual leader. Today, I had the phenomenal opportunity to sit down with her. And, you know, I got to hear her speak this past summer at our general council, and her story just resonated with me in the realities of parents in ministry, whether that is being a pastor or a missionary. And the reality of it is maybe you're not in ministry at all, but when you raise your kids in a certain way in a home of faith to follow Jesus, and then things don't go or not going the way you exactly thought they would go. In this past summer, and in her book, Girl in the Song, she shares her story of her family. Her dad's a famous pastor, well-known, a man well-known for his love for prayer and intercession, and just how their story intertwines. And she'll share more in the podcast. I don't want to share all the thunder of her story, but so insightful. And I appreciate her so much as she returns to the reality that the spiritual battle that each of us are in, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, is the same battle that's raging in the hearts, that's trying to steal the hearts of our children. And she talks about the importance of those preteens and then moving into the teenage years and then those young adult years, and just valuable information, valuable insight of her life experience, her personal, her story. She talks a little bit about their family story. And this challenges us to recognize the spiritual nature of this conflict and what we can do. She'll share about how God challenged her to say, is he faithful or not? Just wisdom, insight, experience. And I appreciate Pastor Chrissy's sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, her being led by the Holy Spirit, and just for us to once again realize raising children, having children in our home is very much it's a spiritual act, and how we as parents can navigate that. At the end, I talk a little bit about and ask her a question about how can we support and walk alongside those maybe that their kids are not making the decisions they want them to or desire them to, or they're making decisions that you can see are going to have long-term consequences, how we can support them, what questions can we ask, in a way that they feel loved and supported and cared for. Sometimes in the church, I think we have maybe been a little judgmental or a little bit critical of parents, and specifically in the ministry when their adult children are making decisions that they no longer have control of. And Chrissy gives us some valuable wisdom and insight on that. And really appreciated her being with us on the podcast today. And I'll put a link for her book, Girl in the Song. Would ask you to continue to subscribe to the podcast. I know the podcast I subscribe to are the ones I listen to. They show up on my phone on Monday or Tuesday morning, and I have the podcast I can listen to for the rest of the week. Do ask you also to continue to send in your questions for Back Channel with Foth. That's where I get to sit down with Dick Foth, and we get to learn from his wisdom, and just always a fun time to spend with Dick as he answers listeners' questions. Well, there's no time better than now to get started, so here we go. Greetings and welcome back to the Clarity Podcast. So excited to be here with a new friend of the podcast. I did share before the intro, I feel like I know her husband very well because we go through the DNA of the leader a lot, and somebody that I would consider a virtual mentor of my life. And Pastor Al has had a huge impact on my life. But today we're with Pastor Chrissy Toledo. Welcome to the podcast. And would you just take a minute or so just to share a little bit about yourself?
Well, thanks for having me on a podcast. This is an honor. I have an incredible heart, passion for missions, for the world. I love the people of God, the people that God wants us to reach all over the planet. So this is a joy and a privilege. I want to start by saying that, to be on this podcast. So my husband and I, we've been married for about 30 years. We have three married kids. And they have kids, so that makes us grandparents. We are going on six. We'll have six grandkids pretty soon. Our children, this is pertinent to this podcast, but my children, praise the Lord, they all serve him.
Amen.
And we might get a little bit into what the road has been up till now, that, you know, they're adults and they're married, but
yeah.
Praise the Lord, they're all serving him. And that should be just a testimony to encourage all of our listeners today.
Yeah.
That the story isn't over yet, and,
yeah.
and God is faithful. So I have the kids, they live in different places. My husband and I, we pastor Chicago Tabernacle in the inner city of Chicago, and then we just planted Philadelphia Tabernacle in,
wow.
in that incredible city. And our churches are really in the inner city. So they're not like in the suburbs or over the close to the city line. They're in the
right.
heart of the city. And yeah, that's pretty much what I have. And I wrote a book about 9 years ago with my story in it, Aaron. And it is my dad. Maybe some of the listeners have heard of Pastor Jim Cimbala
yeah.
and Carol Cimbala, who directs that incredible choir. My dad, many years ago, wrote a book called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire.
Hmm.
And in that story, in chapter 4, he shared the journey that they had with me. I was the kid in our home growing up that fell away from the Lord and really broke their hearts. And hmm. it was probably one of the most challenging times in their lives as pastors. So after he wrote that in his book, you know, it literally caught fire around the world because it's an awesome book about prayer, but it
right.
also because he opened up kind of the doors of his home and let people look in.
Yeah.
And so since then I was asked by a couple different publishers to consider writing my story. And I'll talk a little bit about that, but that has me traveling around the world, speaking. Besides the pastoring we do, I do travel and love to speak to young people, speak to women, I speak to anybody about the transforming, faithful power of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And you shared about your dad. As I was reading through the book, I heard you speak this past summer at General Counsel and did a phenomenal job. And this just resonates, as we shared in before we hit record, the realities of Dr. Dobson. I think he said, I quote him a lot. He said, you know, parents, you raise your kids in a certain way. If they turn out the way you wanted them to, you take too much of the credit. If they take a path you didn't want them to, you take too much of the blame. The reality of it is they're all children of God, and the truth is somewhere in the middle. And I just appreciate your willingness to share and be an encouragement to the many parents that are listening in, because it is challenging. Many of them are living overseas. They're investing and sharing the gospel. And maybe they have children that are living in the United States or other parts of the world that are choosing a different path. And the tensions there can be challenging. Your father wrote in the book, said that you were surrounded by people that loved you, but you had fell prey to things that threatened to tear you apart. Could you share just a little about your story and then that idea that you were surrounded by people that loved you? They loved and cared for you, but at the same time, there were other tensions that were pulling at you.
So I want to say first that all of you that are listening, I want to make the most of our time together here. So I'll probably kind of park a little bit in an area that I think is going to be key to the parents, missionary parents, pastors, of children that are away from the Lord. For me, when my dad mentions that, and I really go into detail in my book, as I answer your question, my story, Girl in the Song, what I did was I didn't, it's not a preaching book. It's not a teaching book. It's taking that girl, your daughter, your son, and you're getting into the mind of that child. I kind of wrote it almost like it's a movie, where you see me, you know, at age 4 walking down the street with my dad. My world was amazing. You know, my parents said yes to taking a church, like many of you, saying yes to something really hard, maybe taking a church in a ghetto in Brooklyn, New York. But for me, I was a little girl that my world, you know, was amazing. You know,
yeah.
I was around people of all these cultures, and you know, I was eating Filipino food one day and Trinidadian food the next day. And my second mother was a Jamaican woman. And,
yeah.
you know, that was my world. And I loved it. But what I do in the book is I walk you through the events sort of in my little world that led to a preteen. And this is where I'll park a bit. When I got into my preteen years, the enemy started messing with me. It wasn't when I was a teenager. When I was a teenager, it manifested itself in, you know, a rebellious heart. But I always tell people, I say, the devil doesn't wait till our kids are teenagers. He's sowing seeds along the way. So that, and then many times children keep it private. I want to encourage you, if you're listening today and you have a preteen young person, the best advice I can give to you is to talk to them. Ask them what bothers them. Ask them what they hear, what sometimes voices that hurt their feelings, the things that they hear. For me, when I was in the mirror as a preteen girl, you know, starting to become very conscious of my appearance, you know, I was a really good little girl.
Yeah.
I was a little, you know, daddy's little girl. My parents were proud of me. I was a very compliant child, did great in school. So what the enemy did with me was he started to tell me, you have to be good enough. You have to be perfect. You have to measure up to these expectations. I think a lot of pastors' kids and missionary kids probably battle with this, wanting to measure up. Or should I say, the devil starts to tell them that they're not good enough, try hard, you know, this. So they have this little private, Aaron, they have this little private conversation with the enemy. We don't think about the fact that our kids are people too. They're attacked by the devil.
Yeah.
If we suffer trials, like James 1 says, they suffer trials too.
Sure.
So I'm very dialed in, especially now I'm a 54-year-old woman. I dial into the preteens of our church. Sometimes I walk by and I just talk to them, and it's important to ask them, you know, what do you hear when you look in the mirror? Do you ever hear voices that tell you things that hurt your feelings?
Wow.
And all of a sudden you start to open up. It's no blame. It's not a blame thing. It's not, you know, blaming yourself, blaming your kid.
Right.
You start to get down to what's going on in the spiritual realm, because there is a spiritual realm.
Yeah.
And the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to snuff out our kids. Especially because the hand of God is so strong on them.
Yeah.
So that's an important part, I think, of even this talk.
Yeah.
Is, you know, my husband and I, the DNA of a leader, privately healthy, publicly fruitful.
Sure.
We like to focus on the root.
Yeah.
You know, first.
Yeah.
Because then the fruit makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, for sure. And you highlight that, the realities of the spiritual battle. Some, you know, I think maybe parents are used to engaging in that spiritual battle for themselves, but don't necessarily how to navigate that with their kids. Does that make sense? Any wisdom on how parents can not become comfortable with it, become more attuned to it and recognize it, and then not be, because I've seen, honestly, sometimes in my own life, I admit it, it's easier for me to stand up and preach to 1,000 people than it is to have some critical conversations with my kids. Wow. It's easier for me to whatever. In certain areas, it can be challenging. So any wisdom from that you can help us on that?
Well, I think number one is to begin to pray with that perspective. Pray with the perspective of it's a spiritual realm. There are spiritual battles we fight, not just as mom and dad.
Yeah.
But as kid, our children fight them every single day.
Hmm.
And that changes your prayer life as it relates to parenting. And now you're starting to take authority in the spirit over your children.
Yeah.
You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And that's a reality for the Christian, for their children. So you want to do that in prayer. I think that's the first thing. And I think then in the interaction with your kids, I think just what I said before is like, bring it down to their level. You're not going to say, okay, what's going on in the spiritual realm in your life, 10-year-old, you know, but we know what they don't know. Right. And we can start to ask, like, it's again, it's a perspective in prayer. It's a perspective in our everyday conversations with them. You know, so beautiful about it. It takes the tension of it's my fault. I failed. Because a lot of parents, when they see strange things happening with their kids, or their kids are in rebellion, or their kids are struggling with sexual identity, all these things that are just like, whoa, how in the world is this happening? We've given our lives to the work of the ministry. You know, they blame themselves. My mom, as a matter of fact, it's in, I think, in Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, in that story. My mom got to a point where when I left the house and they didn't know where I was, I mean, I could go into that a minute. I'll tell you this much. It would take a lot more than this time we have, but it got so bad with me where I was completely separated from my parents. They didn't know where I was. I ended up being a single mom, having a baby. My parents were separated from not just their daughter, but from their now first grandchild. That my mom, the enemy just started to attack her and say, you know why this is happening? Because you came to Brooklyn, you came to this rough area of Brooklyn, and you've had to pour your time into the ministry. And now look at your, so this is what you get for sacrificing. And it was during that time, and I put it in my book, I remember that song being written. My mom, God gave her a song during that time. She didn't run away, but he gave her a song that said, he's been faithful, faithful to me. Looking back, his love and mercy I see. Though at times I may have questioned, even failed to believe, but he is faithful. Wow. And it was during that time when it just looked so bad. And you're like, but that's the reality. The enemy wants to make the conversation with you and your kids, put a tension there that it's your fault. It's their fault. Instead of realizing there's one and only one who's trying to bring destruction in your home, into your child's life. And then you start to look at it different, Aaron. You're starting to say, this is spiritual. Rebellion is the fruit of something spiritual. You know?
Yeah, for sure. It's and so for parents, I think so, how do they help their kids, their ministry parents, pastors, missionaries, and their kids maybe feel like they have to perform? And you talk a little bit about this, am I good enough, and performing, but feeling like they have to keep up a certain image because their parents are in the ministry. How do they navigate that so they can, their kids feel safe enough? Because you talked that your parents created a safe place that you could share, but how do they cultivate that in their home?
Well, I, you know, that whole performance thing, man, it's so real for a ministry kid. Because let's just face it, all eyes are on you. You know, I've even heard my own kids say, as they got older and were serving in the church, like my son, he was leading the youth ministry at our church at one time. He was about 19 or 20. And he said, Mom, I come in one day and he's going to preach that night. And I see him mopping the stage. And I'm thinking, this guy's preaching that. Why is he mopping the stage? I know he has a great team of workers. Right. He said, Mom, I've got to do this. I said, why? He says, because pastor's kids got to do more than anybody else.
Wow.
Because we can't be, you know, we don't want to be treated like we're the pastor's kids. We want to be treated as individuals. And it is not easy to be a pastor's kid, a missionary kid. So there's this incredible pressure that they feel. And I think in a home where, we can do everything possible to make sure that our kids know that our expectations of them is just that they would walk right before the Lord, that they would be vulnerable, that on days when they're having a hard day, when days when they don't want to love God, on days when they are frustrated, that the home is a safe place to talk about it. I think the biggest thing, I've said it now a couple of times already here, is there's so much tension. There's this noise when it comes to us and our kids that I think keep us from just doing regular life. It's the noise of our calling, of our position, of the ministry, is of what people are going to think. There's the noise of failure. There's the noise of fear. What's going to happen? And you know, with my kids, am I going to lose them? Are they going to leave the country and go live somewhere else? And you know, it's so much noise. But to, in Jesus' name, push out the noise and treat your daughter, who's 14 and 15, that really, really needs mom and dad to understand what they're going through.
Wow.
Is to stop everything and to say, let's talk. If you don't love God today and you're struggling and you just hate the ministry and the fact that mom and dad are in the ministry, I want you to talk about it.
Wow. That's a good word. Yeah. It's, you know, I grew up, my dad was a railroader. My mom was a stay-at-home mom and a nurse. So the realities of that, I didn't experience myself. But I've seen in my kid's life, and honestly, I think I struggled early on because I kept pointing to the positive things. So when there were those days when things were rough, I would say, hey, but we get to, you know, live in Africa, or it's, you know, all the positives, but not having the emotional intelligence, maybe the capacity, or creating a safe place in our home that our kids could feel like, hey, I can come, even on those days, like you said, where it's not a good day. But I felt like I had this pressure to redirect really quick. And, and I think it was a lack of my own capacity and understanding. And I just didn't understand. It's not an excuse. I'm not making excuses for myself, but it's something now that I wish that I would have focused on more when my kids were younger. And I missed it. I missed the opportunity. So parents that are listening in, maybe they're concerned about their kids. What are some good questions that they could ask? Maybe as we look past the preteen, maybe into the older kids, what are some good questions they could ask that could be received and then not seen as judgmental, but is to keep that relationship in place?
Well, I love that you've transitioned now into more of the teenage, because you just said something which I also want to just address is maybe you feel that way, that, man, if I could go back. There was a time in our lives, in our home now. So let's fast forward to Chrissy Toledo now as a mom of a daughter who was, at the time, 18 or so, not 13, 14, but at 17, 18, was starting to spin out of control, my daughter. And one day she tells us, because we're like, what happened? I mean, she was living pretty crazy. And in her case, it happened a little later, like she was already moving out of the house. And then one day she drops the news that something happened to her when she was a young lady. And my husband and I, we were just brokenhearted. We felt like, how could this have happened? And I don't have to disclose that, but how could this have happened?
Right.
And we didn't catch it. And how could this have happened as a preteen? And she didn't feel free to come tell us and all of that. So, you know, what do you do when your child now, it's too late to go back.
Yeah.
And your child is a teenager and you're like, this isn't the kid we raised.
Yeah.
You know, so in our case, with our daughter, I was at a place where she wasn't living at home. She had a roommate or whatever, but I knew she's a lot like her mom personality wise. Like she's just, you know, really spontaneous, loves people, social butterfly and all that. And I knew she was out in Chicago at night late.
Yeah.
I knew she was seeing boys. I knew she wasn't living for God.
Yeah.
And I couldn't fall asleep at night because I'm like, where is my daughter? You know? And I'm so sorry. Speaking of children, my son doesn't know I'm on this podcast and he's walking in the house right now. Hold on. Tommy, I'm on a podcast right now. Could you just take it in there? I'm glad this thing is
that's good.
Free flowing. Yep. Yeah, my son is actually visiting from Dallas. Has a business and here in the city for the day. So back to that child. I can't sleep at night because I know she's out there and I'm like, is she going to get home? I mean, is she going to be pregnant?
Yeah.
Is she safe? Is somebody, you know, going to kidnap her? You know, all of those things, those are real. And you might be struggling with those fears as you hear me today. And you know what? I could have become completely consumed with it.
Hmm.
It was around that time that I remember I was in my house here and I was sweeping the floor. I had just doing stuff and I was over in that part of the room and the Lord spoke to me. I'm not going to tell you it was an audible voice, but I heard his voice. And this is what he said. And this is for you today. He said, Chrissy, if you don't trust me, it's because I'm not faithful. You decide. And at that moment, something shifted. All of a sudden, our prayers changed. Al and I, it impacted our marriage for the good. We had like a whole different perspective because the Lord was like, if you can't trust me, that I'm going to protect her, that I'm going to deliver her, that she's going to come home, meaning to me, then I'm not faithful. And I want you to decide right now if I'm faithful.
Wow.
And because of everything he had done in my life, because of the miracles I had seen in our church, like you've seen miracles on the mission field, I could not say to the Lord that day, no, you're not faithful. And so I'm not going to trust you.
Hmm.
It changed everything. And then within months, like I can't even put a timestamp on it, but all of a sudden we're getting calls from her. Things are starting to change. And I'm watching the transformation happen. It wasn't like with streamers and it wasn't like the prodigal son story. You know, it was little by little. And all of a sudden my daughter's back in church. Now my daughter is in full-time ministry. She's leads our lead worshiper on Sunday and leads the creative ministry of our church, married, about to have a baby. The bottom line is you can't look back and say, what if I had? And I know I just talked about what we need to do with our preteens, but drop that for a minute.
Yeah.
God is faithful. And the story is not over yet. And my parents got to a place. May I share, Aaron, how I came home?
Sure.
Okay. So my parents got to a place where they were separated from me. Now their grandchild. My dad, imagine he had to go in on he had to go in on Sundays, just like many of you, and preach and not know where his daughter and his granddaughter were. Crying before going out there to preach. Then I remember hearing he would have to go out. He would preach like a lion. It was the power of God. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. But a day came where they, you know, being separated from me, that was a big deal for me. I just want to mention that too. They got to a place that they knew that they could not support the way I was living anymore. Yeah. You know, they couldn't. They had to make a separation. They had to, I'm not saying that's for every parent, but they had to draw a line in the sand. And that was a big one for me. I remember that day. If you read my book, Girl in the Song, there is a scene that would just tear your heart out because I pulled up to their house and knocked on the door and they didn't open the door.
Mm.
That was a turning point in my life. Mm. I remember I cried that day when I got back to where I was. I was so stunned. I was so shook by that I just cried. I said, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. But I couldn't. I didn't even have the strength to cry out to God. But I just was, there was a turning point there. Because I was so trapped. I was so chained by my sin. by the deception of the enemy. Mm. Remember that, by the deception of the enemy. Mm. And so it was soon thereafter, you know, imagine, like you got many of you, just brokenhearted, that it was a Tuesday night prayer meeting. Here my dad's story, he shares, but in my book, I'm sharing it on the other side.
Yeah.
Again, I told you, you're walking through the mind and the life of the missionary kid or pastor's kid, if you will. So I didn't think about the fact that there was a prayer meeting going on that night. I was in Brooklyn with my baby, still living, just doing my own thing, living in sin. The prayer meeting that they had every single week was happening that night. And in that prayer meeting, although I wasn't there, again, a note slipped up to my dad. And on the note, it said, "Tonight's Chrissy's night." Now, no one knew that I was away from God. Nobody knew what happened. They just knew I wasn't around. I mean, at that point, I would have been 19 years old. Mm. And he got up and he said, "I have to believe that this is the Holy Spirit speaking." Start to share a little. "Chrissy is black, is white, up is down, down. Everything is backwards. She's not living for God. She's hurting herself, blah, 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 blah." And he said, "I believe from the Holy Spirit, from this note, we're supposed to pray." So they began to lift their voices and pray. And the cool thing, and our story is so cool, because Al Toledo, and a lot of you have heard of DNA Believer, my husband, he was in that prayer meeting.
Wow.
He was a newer Christian at the time, and he describes it. He says, you know, it was like nobody was leading in prayer at the moment. And when my dad said, "Let's pray for Chrissy," it was like an ocean of voices crying out in desperation. Mm-hmm. You know, when was the last time you got down on your knees with your husband and cried out in desperation?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I know I'm talking to people who are tired. I'm talking to people who are in the thick of ministry, and there's enough spiritual battles of your own. But when was the last time you said, "I want to pray a prayer that's going to tip the scales in heaven today"? Because you know, our prayers go up.
Yeah.
We never know which prayer is going to tip the scale. That's when we never stop praying.
Yeah.
Well, they started to lift their voices and cry out to God. And it was described as a labor room. Mm. And if you know what a labor room or a wing of a hospital is, there's a lot of crying out.
Yeah, there is.
There is. And they cried out. How are we doing on time? We're good.
We're good. We're good.
Okay, right. They cried out. And guess what happened that night? They gave birth in the spirit. Back to what we talked about. It's a spiritual issue.
Yeah.
This is something that's happening in the spiritual realm. This isn't about your child. This is in the spiritual realm. Mm. They gave birth to a miracle. I was in another place in Brooklyn, and I had an encounter that night, not knowing a prayer meeting was going on, but just to prove how spiritual this is. I was at the end of myself. I encourage you, listen, I'm not trying to sell books here. Buy one and share it with everybody in Africa. I don't care. But you need to read my story so that you can get some faith to believe God for what he can do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was in a room, and I had an encounter where a hideous figure came in my room. I've never had an encounter like this in my entire life. And a beautiful, bright figure came into my room. And my daughter's in her crib, and I'm laying in the bed. And all of a sudden, this hideous figure started talking to this light figure, saying, "I have her life. And now I'm going to take hers." And it moved, like almost like a dark shadow moved over my daughter's crib. Mm. What I didn't know, Aaron, is that was during the prayer meeting. Mm. There was spiritual war taking place for their daughter's life. Mm. Well, I went to sleep. I didn't scream. I didn't anything. I don't know what happened after I fell asleep, how it was taken care of, how it was dealt with.
Yeah.
In heaven. But I woke up the next morning and I was different. I woke up and I felt a lightness. I mean, I can almost taste it right now after all of these years. First thing I wanted to do was pray. Mm. I had never been able to pray. Mm. I said, God, help me to walk away from this life. Mm. Help me to break up this relationship. Lord, I need you. But it wasn't me. It wasn't the same Chrissy.
Yeah.
It was a grace. It was deliverance.
Yeah.
The chains were broken in that time of prayer.
Wow.
I say all that to say, after that, my life was completely turned upside down. I mean, I was home within 48 hours and that door swung open. I have it in my book. I mean, my parents, where I knocked on the door before, they knew. My parents came home that night and they said, Dad said, Carol, if Chrissy doesn't come home, there's not a God in heaven because we reached heaven tonight.
Wow.
Not, my dad doesn't talk like that.
Wow.
And guess what? I was home. Hmm. Because you know in the spirit.
Yeah.
When you've gotten the breakthrough. And you must. Your children, those of you listening, they belong to God. They are not yours. They never were yours. They never will be yours. They belong to God. They're his possession. And they are under the influence of us, the spirit of darkness, if they're in rebellion. Mm. That's what it is, the long and short of it.
Yeah.
And what you need to do is you need to start fighting the right battle instead of the wrong.
Wow.
Many of you are tired too because you've been fighting the wrong battle. You're fighting a battle that you can't win.
Yeah.
You must fight the battle in the spirit and get back to, I won't say, I promise you, I'll tell you, I guarantee you, if you start to take this thing up in prayer and do not relent and fight in the spiritual realm with your spouse, or if you're a single parent and your spouse is deceased, whatever the case is, and you start to pray or you gather a prayer partner and you begin to pray for that child, I guarantee you, your child will come home.
Wow. Wow.
Because he told me, decide if I'm faithful. Trust me if I'm faithful. And he promised, he's always been faithful. I read this morning in the Word, his faithfulness reaches to the skies. Great is his faithfulness. So I just pray that my words are an encouragement to you. I'm a 50-year-old woman that was that missionary kid, if you will.
Yeah.
I have a daughter who is that missionary kid. You're serving the Lord, I've given, and I am a testimony, my family is, to the power of what God can do. When you get the right perspective, when you stop putting it on you, stop putting it on your kid, and start to see it for what it is, and take up the fight in the spiritual realm. You will win, there's no doubt about it, I guarantee you. And then what happens is, then you can take his yoke upon you and rest. Because when you take care of it in prayer, now you have the yoke of God upon you and you can learn from him and hear how to handle. Think about that. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me. So what happens is now all of a sudden when the child calls or when the child, whatever, you're starting to get the impulses of the spirit of how to handle it. You know, it's not. You put on his yoke because your perspective has completely shifted. So, amen?
Amen. Amen. People that are walking along beside, I'm going to ask you one more question on some wisdom. Absolutely. People that are walking alongside, maybe parents that are, their kids are living in rebellion, as you described it. What are praying, interceding in the spiritual realm? Are there other things, not that that's not important. How can they support them? Because I think sometimes in the Christian world, parents whose kids are doing well, they've done everything right. And the parents, kids who maybe are living in rebellion, sometimes we look down upon them or sometimes can criticize them. Any thoughts on that and how we can.
Ask that question one more time, Aaron, if you would.
Sure. So how can, so we'll say missionary, pastor family that they want to walk alongside and support another pastor and their family when their kids are living in rebellion. How do they do that? Interceding for sure. How can they walk alongside them so that other pastor or missionary family feels supported and they don't feel judged? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. If I pray that those friends are tuning in today, because it changes, you know, what you're doing as friends of a missionary or pastor whose kids are away from the Lord, what you're doing by giving them any sense that they are at fault.
Yeah.
Or that's just downright wrong. I mean, that's sure. Condemnation. It's like, it for is. Sure, we shouldn't feel condemned by the people of God.
Sure.
Only the enemy, so, you know, he's the author of condemnation, if you will. So that is not, that's not being a friend.
Yeah.
That's not being a friend. I think friends of pastors, and I think of myself right now, I know some people whose kids are away from the Lord, and intercession and feeling instead of looking upon him and saying, well, oh, what a shame. What an embarrassment, is saying, what kind of pain is that mom and dad feeling right now because their child is under the influence of the enemy? How about that? What kind of pain? Okay, how can I be an encouragement? God, give me a word in season today for my friend, a word of encouragement, a word of victory, a word of, you know, because that is, wow, to think that we as ministers could add to the weight of a pastor, of a missionary, as they're carrying this very difficult, you know, this is a cross that they carry of their child being away from the Lord, is just to really, really search their heart and say, God, have I been the support?
Yeah.
Have I been the voice of promise?
Yeah.
Have I been the voice of victory?
Wow.
We don't go by what we see, right? Faith sees different. And there were people, one actually, this is interesting, because one peer of my dad back in the day, and he was a wonderful man of God, he had a child that was away from the Lord. And he said to my dad, he said, you know, Jim, just give in, just give, accept this. Chrissy, you just have to go with this. This is what Chrissy's decided. And you know, my dad in his heart was like, no, I'm not going to accept this. And that, it was soon thereafter that they made the decision to draw that line. And we had that separation.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how, thankfully, you know, the Lord gave my dad a word personally, because that friend would have maybe even delayed that process for me. So it is really important.
It has been awesome to spend some time with you, and your encouraging words and your transparency. I think it's valued, it's refreshing, and it's encouragement to me. Would you pray for us? Would you pray whatever direction the Spirit directs you, for those who are listening in, that this message will be an encouragement? It'll be a challenge for us to engage in the spiritual realm for the lives of our children and the children of our colleagues.
Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. It would be an honor. Lord, we bless you. We praise you, God. And we all recognize today, we just want to tell you together, corporately, that you are the faithful God. You're the mighty God of Jacob, as I read this morning, Lord. And that's why the psalmist put his trust in you, because he saw your faithfulness. And we, as your children, we can't help but reflect on your faithfulness today. So that's how we begin our prayers, just reflecting on your faithfulness, your goodness. We are only in the ministry listening here today, myself included, but only because of you. Where would we be without you? And it's because of you that we find ourselves doing the work of the Lord. And we're so grateful that you considered us, God. So we start by just glorifying you for what you've done in us and even through us, God, for your faithfulness. And Lord, as I bring our children to you, Lord, I recognize that even on this podcast, you have spoken by your spirit. Lord, I didn't even prepare, if you will. I knew what Aaron wanted to talk about, but I really believe that you you want us to lean in today to what is happening in the realm of what we don't see. And God, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you would open the eyes of our spirit to begin to take authority and to press in intercession, to fight the battles, Lord, that you've given us the power, Lord. We're your children. Lord, we bear your name, Lord. We're full of your Holy Spirit, God, that we would take up the fight for our little babies, for our preteens, for our teenagers that are away from the Lord, in many cases our adult children that have turned their backs on you. In Jesus' name, I just met one, a child of a missionary that won't even step foot in a church. And God, I reach out to you today. We agree together, Lord, that our children will come home, Lord, that our children will serve you. God, we speak it and we believe it and we take hold of that promise, Lord, that our children, you said it, it was your word. You said our children would be mighty in the land. And God, we take you at your word, at your promises, Lord, that our children, not based on what we see, but our eyes of faith, believe you that you will do it. So God, I lift up every person who's listening now. Let, Lord, the balm, Lord Jesus, of joy, oh God, of peace, Lord, come upon them now, Lord. Let it cover them right now, Lord Jesus, as it pertains to their children, Lord. I pray that your peace would invade their home, Lord. I pray that your joy would blanket the places where they step, oh God. So I'm asking, Lord, to do something supernatural in the homes of your servants, God. So we thank you that you're going to show us. Thank you for your word, that your yoke is going to enable us to learn from you and know how to respond to our kids. It's not going to be in figuring it out and reading books about how to respond necessarily, while those are good. It's going to be the leading and the impulse of your Holy Spirit in the moment. So I thank you for that in advance, Lord. And just, we dedicate our children, whether they're 35 years old, whether they're 13 years old, whether they're just little babies, we dedicate them to you once again. Lord, they belong to you. Lord, may they serve you. Give us the breakthroughs and the deliverance that we need in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.